Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
And our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. Don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Well, happy Easter to each and every one of you. On this Easter morning, I really felt like I needed to share that I really disliked the movie Titanic. I know it's one of the highest grossing movies of all time. My Heart Will Go On, Celine Dion, Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet, James Cameron directing, as a romantic, I don't like it. I don't like it, and I still don't. This is a true story. I walked out on a date. I went on a date to this movie. I walked out at the end, like towards the end of that movie. I told her I'd meet her in the lobby. I'm going to go play some arcade games. I did not like it because I don't like the ending. Spoiler alert, and you've had almost 25 years now to see this movie, so if you haven't seen it, I'm going to have to ruin it for you this morning. Well, we know the ship sinks. Even my education in Maine, I knew that much about the movie before I saw it. But the thing that really stuck in my craw is that she takes the Heart of the Sea necklace, that priceless item, and tosses it overboard. Yes, I know from a story perspective, it's romantic and it's appropriate because her heart was buried at the bottom of the sea with the person that she truly loved. Yeah, I get it, but I still don't like it. She could have sold that necklace, given the money to feed people. She could have given it to me. You know, what a waste. Now, this is just a personal example of a movie or a book that when you're done, you walk away and say, "That's the ending? That's how it ends? For real?" I'm sure you have examples. But in our gospel reading from Mark, most of the early manuscripts say Mark ends here where we read it today in verse 8. If it ends where we read it for today, the last word from probably the oldest gospel is something that's kind of interesting. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. That is about the opposite reaction one would think would have on Easter. Anyone wake up this morning and watching this video and say, "Hooray, it's Easter morning. Be afraid. Be very afraid." Everyone walking around scared to death, petrified. But that's where Mark left it. And I think there's something to be said for leaving it there. Afraid, fear is a big part of our life of faith. Honestly, it's a big part of our lives in general. Fear is a normal reaction to life. And I'm not gonna share my fears. I was thinking about it, and I thought, but maybe actually it might be good and therapeutic. Well, we all have fears, phobias, rational, irrational. I happen to be very afraid of spiders. My daughters think that's very hilarious, and they will pretend that they see spiders to scare me. There are things that we should be afraid of, and things we probably should not. You know, there's a great story. One summer night during a thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed, and she was about to turn off the light when he asked in a trembling voice, "Mommy, will you stay with me tonight, all night?" Because he was scared, and smiling, the mother gave him a reassuring hug and said, "I can't, dear. I have to sleep. I have to sleep in Daddy's room." And after a long silence, it was broken by a shaky voice saying, "Oh, that big sissy." Louis Pasteur is reported to have such an irrational fear of dirt and infection that he would never shake hands, which actually during the pandemic he would be very comfortable. The president and Mrs. Benjamin Harrison were so intimidated by electricity in the new White House, they didn't dare touch the switches. If there were no workers around to turn off the lights, they would sleep with the lights on all night because they were too afraid to turn them off. But fear is an emotion, and we can't really control feelings. And then we see in the story that these brave women, it was the women who went to the tomb first in all the Gospels, going to throw that in there for us out there, who went to the tomb, they were afraid. They were afraid of moving the rock. They were afraid of getting arrested. They were already afraid. And when big things happen in the case of the Gospel, the ladies go to the tomb and it's empty. Scary, right? Confusing for sure. And there's an angel there and a man and angels say the same thing throughout the whole of Scripture. They say, don't be afraid. But that didn't really help because the women were already afraid. Come to think of it, when does that actually work? When you tell someone not to be afraid, that usually heightens the fear. Don't be scared. There's a bear right behind you. Yeah, that doesn't stop and turn the turnaround and the shriek and the reaction. So of course they would be afraid. The tomb being empty, open and empty, and an angel being there was something that they had not prepared mentally for. It was clearly not one of the options that they had when they were walking there on that Easter morning. That's not what they expected. And knowing he was gone could mean more persecution, more trouble, more things to be afraid of. But what I realized as I thought about it, these women, the disciples later on, and going forward in the life of faith, when we're faced with fear, and we will be faced with things that we're afraid of in this life of faith, we have two options. And I found some helpful acronyms that I think sum it up, and that's why the sermon's called Easter Fear, F-E-A-R with the periods, because it's an acronym. When we're faced with something that's big and scary, we can fear, we can forget everything and run. And that's in the fight or flight, this is the flight. Now that is my reaction for fear. You can check that off. If you want to know anything about me, I am a flight. I will start running if anything even seems scary. I know this because one time I got dropped off at my friend's house and I started walking up to the house. I got dropped off at my house by friends and I started walking up to the house and I saw a little black creature with a white stripe by the door. And my primal instincts kicked in. And I bolted and I jumped onto the hood of my friend's car and I started screaming, back it up, back it up. And then I explained that it was a skunk. But I was neck deep in fear of this skunk. And I don't want any judging out there because if you saw a skunk and you're walking in your house, I know you would run away as well. That is one reaction to fear, a common one. Forget everything and run. But the good news for us, and what it seems like the women in the story and the disciples after them, they had felt fear, but they decided to deal with it in a different way. And I think this is for us here on this wonderful Easter morning. They chose to fear, but instead of forgetting everything and running, they faced everything and rose. Facing everything and rising. We know with the other Gospels, and because the movement didn't end, that means that these brave ladies who went to the tomb, they were afraid, but they told the disciples. They faced it all and rose up. And we need look no further than Christ himself. Jesus must have been afraid. And if I get to heaven and Jesus says, Malcolm, well, Jesus won't be formal. He'll say, Mac, that Easter sermon 2021, you said I was afraid. I was not afraid. That's not cool. And if he does say that, I will greatly apologize. But it must have been scary. So what does it mean to face everything and rise? Instead of turning our back, it means to look directly at the thing that is causing us fear. We can hit snags, big bumps in life. We can have health scares, losses of loved ones. We can lose money, lose material things. We can be afraid of losing all things. But instead of running, we can face it. As the church father Tertullian said, it's a poor thing to fear that which is inevitable. And the biggest fear that we come in contact with in the course of our life is probably death, the ultimate thing that we're afraid of. And there's this idea, it's in the classic novel by Ernest Hemingway, The Sun Also Rises. And one of those themes in the book is that death is inevitable, but how you fight it, using the metaphor of the bullfights in Pamplona. So how we choose to fight, face the bull of death, and choose to live is what's most important. And Hemingway was right in part, but sadly he missed the good news of the resurrection, because yes, It's important how we face mortality, but we know that through Christ, death is not the end. It's not something to be afraid of. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. That is what Hemingway missed, because he saw all things as laboring in vain, but we don't because of the work of Christ. John Chrysostom, seeking to know God better, became a hermit in the mountains near Antioch in about AD 373. And although this time of isolation was cut short by illness, he learned that God was with him at his side. He could attend alone against anyone or anything. And that lesson served him well in about 20 years later. He was appointed the Patriarch of Constantinople, where his zeal for reform antagonized the Empress Eudoxia, who had him exiled. And then she allowed him to return, and then Chrysostom again infuriated her, and she sent him away again. And how did he respond to the persecution? He said this, "What can I fear? Will it be death? But you know that Christ is my life and that I shall gain by death. Will it be exile? But the earth and all the fullness, in all its fullness are the Lord's. Poverty, I do not fear. Riches, I do not sigh for. And from death, I do not shrink." He reminds us that we can face everything and rise because Christ, we know, who has dominion over everything. We can face everything and rise because Christ rose, and that's what we celebrate on this Easter morning. Brothers and sisters, we can do this too. We can face everything and rise, and we can rise up because what do we have to fear? We can get paralyzed by phobophobia, which is the fear of being afraid, and FDR said it, the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. We can get caught up in such a fear that it's anything but the fear itself. But because of the resurrection, we know that love wins. And because love wins, we know that we don't have to be afraid. In 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Love, knowing that we're loved, that God loves us perfectly, freed Christ to face everything and rise and not be afraid anymore. And we rise up when we see fear as an invitation or a sign that we're on the right track, that we're doing the right thing. My pastor growing up once said, a wise bird knows that a scarecrow is an advertisement. It announces something very juicy and delicious to be had for the picking. There are scarecrows in all the best gardens. And so if I'm wise too, I'll treat the scarecrow as though it were an invitation. Every giant in the way, which makes me feel like a grasshopper, is only a scarecrow beckoning me to God's richest blessings. And he always said, faith is a bird which loves to perch on scarecrows. All our fears are groundless. So being a little afraid then becomes an invitation to do great things. That if we are afraid of doing something, that it might be because it's something that it's so great. Then God may be calling us to something that is worthy to be afraid of. But it should not cause us to run, but it should cause us to face it. That is what Jesus did. He faced everything, faced death, and he rose. So maybe we have some fears on this joyous Easter morning. But let's be like Jesus. Let's be like the disciples. Let's be like the women who went to the tomb. Let's not turn tail and forget everything and run, but instead fear the way that Christ feared. Let's face everything and rise. Knowing the victory is won, death faced, death is destroyed. There's nothing left to fear. Resurrected by the power of Christ into new life of faith. Let's face everything and rise together like Christ rose, praising God and singing Alleluia, Christ is risen indeed. Happy Resurrection Day to you all.